Hello, hello.
And welcome. No. Okay. Hello, hello, and welcome. I'm Nick.
I'm Ryan.
Welcome to Liku Studios Podcast, Gaiden.
Talking about some games we played recently.
Some games. When is this for? It's important to make note of.
But today's the 16th?
Yes. So I believe this will be podcast for the 19th. And then there's one more episode, and then after that, we will have our Trackmania thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We've still got, it's just under 2 weeks away now, right?
Like a week and a half, but really a week to include time to get them all collected.
Okay.
So you got about a week. Get on it.
And we will have some kind of mechanism for sending maps to us. We'll talk about it on the Facebook page, I guess, once we get that sorted out.
Yeah.
We use Dropbox if you just want to, like, compress them and email them to us, whatever.
Yeah, I imagine email might work, because I still get the feeling that the maps actually aren't
probably
that big by
pretty
themselves.
Tiny. Yeah,
yeah. That's why I still like the way the original Flash Endgame worked, because it just, like, here's a string, send it to your friend. You could tweet a level at a person.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's although, like Bangayo with the sound map transfer.
Yeah, I still love how unusable that probably is.
Yeah.
Like, it works, but, like, when can you play a sound for another person?
You go to the editor, and you load up your map, and you say transfer, and then it's like, is the other person holding up their DS? And then you say yes, and then it goes, beep, 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 beep.
But, like, will that work through a phone line?
Maybe.
What if they release a version of that editor for Bangayo for, like, a cell phone? Can then you just cell phone it through? Why wouldn't you just send it as, like, a regular data file at that point?
I don't think they... Nick, Bangayo isn't like Assassin's Creed, where it's got, like, Facebook games and cell phone game tie-ins and shit. It's Bangayo. This is treasure, for fuck's sake.
Okay, that's true. But, to be fair, I figure if they put some version of Bangayo, like, on a phone, you could put, like, gyro sensitivity in it.
Whoa!
And it would be great, because then to, like, combo crash, you just throw it against the wall.
Okay.
And then it makes a loud noise, and then you get a new phone.
But what if you have one of those cases?
Like, one of those Nerf cases for the DSs?
No, like, one time this guy came into the Tuscan, and, he was on a cell phone, and somebody was like, whoa, what's that thing on your cell phone? And he's like, yeah, check this out. And he just throws it into the pavement.
Whoa. Hardcore.
And everyone's like, whoa! He's like, no, don't worry about it. That's how they demonstrated this thing to me in the store.
Oh. It was like that one laptop that they used.
And then
the
I shattered my first one, and they said, we've never seen this happen before. Here, just have the better model for free. Honestly, like, we've never seen a broken one of these.
Wow. That's pretty cool, actually. So.
Cell phone was all right, though. Shattered the case. Cell phone inside was fine. It's like reactive armor.
That's pretty cool. It's like, I will break so you don't have to.
Can I get a cell phone case that actually is reactive armor? I'm like, I'm in the bathroom. I accidentally drop it in the toilet and then just.
No more toilet.
And just picking porcelain shards out of the wall.
Out of you.
Oh, no!
Oh, reconsider.
Got a shard butt.
Tell me about Skyrim.
Oh. Okay.
I hear you've been walking around doing shit in the land of Skyrim.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this game to, like, get me as much as it did, because I never had a lot of personal investment in the Elder Scrolls stuff. Like, I never really enjoyed those games too much. Like, back in the day, Brian tried to get me on Morrowind just because of the massive modding scene for that and everything, which was really interesting to me. And then my experience playing Morrowind was like, I made my dude, and I walked around for a little while in the first town, I got off the boat, you go and you find that cave full of slavers right next by, so the game can introduce you to, hey, there's caves with guys in them that it's okay to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wandered over to the next town, I found some house on the outskirt, killed the guy who lived in it, dragged him out into the woods, and then I set up that house as, like, a little potion shop, and then I stopped playing that game.
Yep. Similar experience on this end.
Oblivion I enjoyed when me and you ran that Argonian maid character.
I can't remember if I was there. Like, I think I came in, like...
I'm pretty sure we were just handing it off.
You and somebody and
Paul? It might have been me and Brian. I don't know.
It might have been you and Brian. Because I think, like, at one point, we went back to it and loaded it up, and I was brought into it at that point.
Oh, okay.
I think I was there initially, but, yeah.
But, yeah, like, we just goofed around in that game. Like, we weren't taking any of that seriously. But, like, Skyrim now, I really just kind of jumped on it because I saw it was becoming, like, a big hyped thing, and I was just like, I mean, might as well check it out. I mean, people playing it, here it is, whatever. Oh, my God. So, I don't know, something about just, like, the presentation or the setting or something about it has hooked me. Like, I didn't think that the game with, like, the super simplified class leveling system and the gorgeous graphics and everything was going to be the one to haul me in, but I guess it did. You can take my, like, indie credits, I guess. Oh. I don't know. I mean, I had to shave myself completely today, so I've already lost my penis, so you can take everything I have left.
I was going to say, you do look surprisingly shiny.
Shiny?
You're just completely hairless.
Yeah, I actually, I shaved and then waxed the entirety of my body. I'm recording this right now shirtless and just gleaming.
Just like it got like 70% more luminescent down here.
It's dazzling.
Yeah. It's a spectacle.
So I've been playing Skyrim, and having all sorts of japes and adventures, and what's another word for those sorts of things?
Tell me about
the
like actual leveling system, because I've heard it described a couple of times and I still don't quite get how it works.
So they did away with, like, in the old games, you would either pick a class or, like, build a class for yourself where you picked, like, a handful of core skills, and then as you leveled, those would, like, level faster or something, I don't know.
Okay.
And then as you leveled those ones up, like, that's how you leveled up. This game, there are no classes. You level up any skill as you use it, and then each, like, the skill levels just build into your level.
Right.
And every time, like, it's just a set number of, like, skill ups equates to a full level.
Okay.
And then when you get a full level, you get to choose to increase either your mana, your health, or your stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Just by 10 points, flat, boom, up.
Okay.
And then each skill has, the interface for it is actually really cool because it's this big constellation thing.
Yeah.
And each skill has, like, a perk tree associated with it. Where you, by leveling up the skill, there are just, like, level gates on it where it's like, okay, once you have, you know, 30 one-handed weapon skill, you can get, like, the weapon specialization thing that lets your axes do bleeding damage, or lets your sword do crits, or let your mace, like, ignore armor and shit like that.
Okay.
And then each different skill set has its own tree like that, and some of them are just, like, flat statistical things. Like, you know, each one usually starts with, okay, this skill, you just do that 25% better. Like, you hit people 25% harder, or you block 25% more armor, or, you know, more damage with your shield or whatever. You know, the potions that you make are 25% more potent. But then it'll branch off into more, like, qualitative things, where it's like, okay, now you have the ability to completely block arrows with your shield. You can just bat them away. Or now you have the ability to dual cast spells together.
Okay.
You know, now when you try a new potion ingredient, you can get, you know, you'll know two things that it does instead of just one.
Ooh.
And then, like, the way up, like, the really high ones are just ridiculous stuff like, okay, now heavy armor weighs nothing, and it doesn't slow you down at all, and you take half damage from falling if you're wearing a full set, because it's just like, thunk, solid. So that's how it works.
Okay.
And then you don't pick any sort of specialization in skills at all. Like, it's literally just the ones you use more are the ones that will level up more.
Right.
And like they start the game with a handful of magic spells just so you're not like completely nerfed if you want to do that. And it's like, well, I guess I better learn how to use a sword for a while till I can afford magic. So you start with all your opportunities open, pretty much.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But, okay, so the way that the whole, like, perking system works is that, like, you need to level up a specific skill.
You, every time you level up, you get one perk point.
Right.
Yes.
So you need to level up your general level in order to buy one of the perks in the, like, skill trees.
Yes.
Okay. Does buying a specific perk, like, close out any other opportunities?
Nope.
So you could theoretically just keep going and level up everything.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, like, I was looking into it, and I just saw a lot of, like, weird, not straight talk, like, well, yeah, this game is theoretically limitless, but there's a mathematic level cap of 50, and I'm like, so there's a level cap of 50? Well, theoretically, yeah. It's like, God damn it. I figure, you know, once people who have capped out get on the wiki or whatever, like, I'll be able to know that for sure.
Yeah.
And not just get, like, pre-release double talk, whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Especially
this... It's a good, fluid, organic system, and especially with, like, the qualitative improvements.
More question. Does it sort of make sense that you get, like, a perk point and then you stick that into the unlock section of the trees? Like, does it seem like there's a reason that it's built like that instead of, like, saying when your one-handed becomes, you know, level 21, you get this perk in addition? Like, does it seem like they did that to not make you overpowered by just getting everything?
It's really the only way that they force you to specialize.
Okay.
Because, like, as your skills level up, like, you do get, like, that does actually improve your, you know, your abilities in that field. Like, as you level up enchanting, I'm pretty sure, like, even if you don't spend perks in it, like, you will get better at enchanting, just not in the big or qualitative ways where it's like, well, now you can put two enchantments on a thing. It's like, now you're just vaguely better at, you know, doing the little enchantment that you've always been able to do. So it's just kind of forcing you to specialize. So it's not like, if I just got perks just for leveling up rather than having to, like, you know, a limited quantity of them, I would have all sorts of perks in, like, one-handed weapons and blocking and heavy armor and archery and lockpicking and enchantment and smithing and restoration and some destruction, I guess.
I guess that's the thing that sort of didn't come across from what I've heard so far, is the fact that the perk points were tied to your overall level, and that's a lot slower than everything else.
Yeah.
So that, okay, that makes sense as a limiting factor. That sounds really cool, and I like the fact that they're going, like, you level up with something as you use it more, because that's a very natural way for things, for skills to increase. Kind of weird that, like, just a weird, like, jump every once in a while on health or magic or stamina. I would kind of like it if that just went up, like, 2 points with every other level you gained in the skill set or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I mean, it's not, like, huge. Like, you know, you start out with 100 in each, and then each level is just 10. So it's like, okay, now I'm a bit healthier, and I'm a bit healthier, and I'm a bit healthier. And then by the time you've been just, like, dumping health for, you know, 20 levels, now, you know, you just realize, oh, I'm, like, way beefy. Oh. I'm, like, way, way, way beefy.
Because you're not usually focused on that.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's, like,
Yeah, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the game just kind of wandering around because I didn't realize, like, how important a certain quest line was early on when it was like, oh, this is going to be the one that... I mean, I guess this is going to be kind of spoilery. Like, it's not any ones that you probably didn't hear in advertising information because this game has the same problem that Baccano did.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the quest where it's like, okay, you got out of the place that got attacked by a dragon. Go tell the Jarl that there's dragons about because he should probably deal with that. And I was like, okay, I told him, I'm out. Later, guys. I didn't realize that if I just, like, spent another 10 minutes there and was like, so how about that dragon problem? That, you know, that's when they introduce you to the kill dragons, take their souls, you're a dragonborn guy. Did you hear those guys shouting up in the mountains? You're, like, chosen and stuff. Go play the game.
Yeah.
I kind of ignored that until I was about level 15 or so.
But at the same time, you didn't feel like...
And I did not feel like I was missing out on game at all, because I had this crazy adventure where I just was kind of wandering from city to city to see what the world was like. And in one of the cities that I came to, I found it was like an imperial held city, and they were executing a guy like right in the front gates for everyone to see. Mm-hmm. And as you start the game, like at an imperial execution about to be killed, like the situation kind of resonated with me. So I attacked the guards, and I think the guy made it out. It took me a couple tries because, like, I just kind of charged the murder podium a couple times and it didn't turn out well.
Yeah.
But I eventually, like, killed the legate or, you know, whatever, whoever was in charge of that, because this is another Bethesda game with pseudo-Romans as pseudo-antagonists.
Right.
And then I was just, like, downing all the potions that I made. Alchemy. Alchemy is the other skill I've been practicing, but I have actually chosen to take perks in that, too.
Okay.
So I was just, like, downing potions to keep myself running and not dying. So I was just, like... You know, I just killed a cop. I was out of my mind on stuff just bugs and grass and stuff that I mashed together to drink.
Like you'd been licking things as you walked through the woods.
I was just like, Nurn root, huh? What's that? Ow. Ooh. God, that hurt. Okay.
Just hang on to that anyway.
And then, like, I stole a horse and rode it into a marsh. And then just kind of, like, staggered into this marsh that was all, like, frozen over and filled with, like, mud crabs, which was, like, whatever, mm-hmm. loathsome creatures. And I think that's where I saw a Wisp Mother, which is, like, this sort of ethereal banshee-esque creature that has, like, enslaved souls in its entourage that it uses to attack you.
Yeah.
So I think I ran into one of those. So it was just, like... This weird dreamscape experience wandering through this frozen marsh with, like, strange banshee women sending spirits to attack me. And I couldn't sleep or fast travel or, like, even wait to spend time because you can't do any of that when guards are attacking you or, like, pursuing you. So I was just, like, slogging through the woods being harangued by this spirit and the occasional, like, band of guards that would just pop out of nowhere and be like... Ah, we'll get you for what you've done! Because I guess they're like Snidely Whiplash now. They were just twirling their mustaches at me.
Yeah.
And then eventually, like, they gave up, and I was able to just, like, wander into some town and just, like... I can rent a room. I can finally rest. And then I got back to killing dragons and the rest of the game.
That's actually... When you tell that story, it actually sort of makes me think of Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
Because, like, it took me a long time, but I finally saw that, like, E3 gameplay demo that they mm-hmm. put out. And it seems like stuff just happening that you can choose to interact with or not is going to be a large part of that. And I think that's kind of what I'm looking for in a game right now, is, like, a game where it's just a world full of interesting stuff.
Like, there's some little hooks that, like, I've picked up, like... Oh, your family's son has been, you know, stolen by the Thalmdor because they think he's a heretic or whatever. Sure, I'll go try to rescue him. And then some are just like, you know, you'll just wander into some town and, like, people are arguing about something. And I'm just like, I don't care about your petty bullshit. I'm just going to keep walking.
I'm starting to think that maybe that's something that is different about Skyrim from Oblivion and Morrowind. Because I know in talking with a bunch of people about Oblivion, whenever they talked about it, they always talked about, like, and then there's that awesome mission where you go do this, and then there's the quest where you get sucked into a painting, and then there's
a quest where you get sucked into a painting?
Yeah, and everything.
Like that Castlevania game?
Really wacky. Yeah, kind of like that, actually. But they all were like, and then there's this quest that is really cool. But the difference in Skyrim is that all people keep talking about stuff that, like, just cool stuff that happened without that idea of, like, this is the quest where this quest is cool, but rather the things that are happening are cool. Like, I haven't really heard anybody talk about quests in Skyrim.
Yeah, like, Jill had that story. She was watching Jake play, and she's like, oh, no, Jake, there's a bear. And, Jake, is that a dragon? Jake, is that two dragons? And, like, that was just kind of a thing that happened. Like, he wasn't on the quest to go slay two dragons at once. There just happened to be two dragons there.
Yeah. And I think that's really cool, the fact that it seems to be focused more on, like, interesting stuff happening rather than interesting stuff being in the world for you to find. Like, sometimes the interesting stuff will just happen.
Yeah.
And, like, there's still interesting stuff, but it's more about, and then I met this wacky guy and I had to go run because this goof happened, rather than, like, and then there was the quest where I went through a dungeon and after that whole ordeal I met this kind of interesting character at the end, but then that was the end of that quest.
Well, that has happened at times too. Like, I've just kind of, like, wandered into caves and I'm like, hey, what's going on in this dungeon? Oh, there's this poet's ghost who has a bone to pick with that skeleton king for some reason. All right, poet's ghost, let's go.
I mean, yeah, it's still going to happen, but I don't know, just the way people talking about
it. But yeah, it's just something that, like, I wandered into rather than, like, you know, I went to a town somewhere and there was some guy, like, waiting around to tell me about the poet's ghost. And then that wouldn't actually trigger unless I talked to the guy about it and stuff like that.
Yeah, it seems like their presentation of quests is more in media res and is much more immersive, which is very cool.
And actually, especially just because, like, the environments, and I'm actually really surprised that I really like the music direction in that game. The way that they use music and the music itself is great because it just seems to be so perfectly tailored to, like, the shit that's going on. Like, I found a bounty to go kill a dragon, and I was like, all right, dragon, guaranteed. Let's go get me some dragon soul. All
right.
And so, like, I climb this mountain, and I'm just like, all right, climbing the mountain. And I just start to hear, like, this chanting start welling up. And I'm like, am I there? And I'm just like, you know, just these dudes shouting and chanting and drum beats and stuff. And I'm like, what is about to... Dragon!
Oh, man.
And then there's this part where you have to climb, like, the 7,000 stairs to get to this ancient monastic order in the mountains and stuff, and it's all, like, snowing and aurora borealis, and it's just, like, these chimes and, like, wind sounds and stuff, and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just great.
That does sound really cool.
Like, you're just climbing this mountain, reading all of these engraved statues and stuff, while there's just this very contemplative, relaxing music and everything. Like, the way the game just shifts tones like that as you're playing it is really enjoyable.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I've the little bits that I've seen of it, I feel like that sort of echoed in the art direction. Because, you know, again, something in, like, Oblivion, you know, I never really thought about it. I think one of my problems with that is everything looked so the same. It's like, oh, yes, we have this, you know, this peaceful-looking forest inhabited by these creatures and plants and such, and it's going to be, like, 90% of the game is going to be covered in that, and then there's a death aisle where the boss probably is, and then you get sucked into a painting. But from what I've seen in Skyrim, like, places look really distinct.
Yeah.
Like, good palette choices changing in, you know, like, what wildlife and vegetation looks like, and then a blizzard will occur.
Yeah,
and
like,
just, like, places look like they look distinct, and you can remember, you know, you have visual memories to go along with the sort of narrative memories that you get there.
Yeah, like, I can't speak for Oblivion, having not... Well, I mean, I played some of it, I don't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they use, like, sort of subtle atmospheric effects, like, when I was climbing that mountain, like, the palette just sort of got generally more and more washed out just because it was getting foggier and foggier. And eventually I realized that, like, everything was just gray and I could barely see anything. And I was like, oh, I've been climbing for a while.
Like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That might also be part of my problem with sort of the fantasy setting in general, is because it's either like, well, you're in a cave or you're in a forest. And it's like, oh, you stumble upon a big-ass castle. Well, which big-ass castle? The one where the Duke of such-and-such lives. It's never like, well, it's a big-ass castle with a giant sword sticking out of the top. How about that?
Yeah. They, like, there are... I have seen a sort of lot of like repeated cookie cutter, just sort of like minor things like, mm-hmm. oh, this is the ruined tower. It's what ruined towers looks like. You might run into more of these.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, I have run into more ruined towers that have like the broken floor kind of in the same place.
Hmm.
But like the way they vary the larger cities is pretty cool. Cause it's like, this is Whiterun. This is where we have a great hall that's made from a flipped over boat.
Ooh. Yeah. Like that sounds awesome. That seems very distinct.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's also where they have like the, it's being used as a palace now, but that's where they imprisoned one of the last great dragons after such and such hero dragged it down from the mountains.
Oh man. Just in a headlock the whole way.
Or something. Nah, but that poet said that that guy might have been a liar.
Oh.
And a crook.
That very well could have been.
Yeah.
Like a monorail. Monorail dragon. Dragon rail.
Monorail?
Monodragon.
Monorail. Monorail.
Monodragon sounds like it could be some sort of network, like, router firmware replacement system.
Monodragon?
Monodragon.
That sounds like something. I don't know. Ah. But yeah, Skyrim is pretty good. I suggest you play it.
If I can get my hands on it, I would like playing that. I think it will keep my attention a bit longer than Morrowind or Oblivion.
Yeah.
Or the game I was playing over the last couple of days, Dead Island. That game's really...
Yeah. Like, we spoke about your experience of Dead Island and just how underwhelming it was.
Like that's the thing. Like, I want to... The thing that's great about sort of the sandbox games, like, you know, Bethesda games or... Like, even to a certain extent, like... What else was I playing? I had some Assassin's Creed going,
mm-hmm.
Something like Just Cause 2. There's, like, a big world with interesting stuff in it. And Dead Island just doesn't have that. Like, it is not an interesting world. Like, okay, here's the hotel, here's the thing. But these are, like, just set pieces, and even then there's nothing too extravagant about them. Like, yes, they're certainly different, but that doesn't necessarily make them interesting.
Yeah.
And there's, like, I only ever found one person who was just, like, a quest line I stumbled onto, and it was just, like, a really short one-off thing about, like, hey, I'm standing at the side of the road, I need you to come help, because we flipped our car, and now my husband is trapped inside because the door is all busted
up. And you just kind of, like, held X on a car door for a while, and
yep.
I was like, thanks.
Yeah, and then, like, got to do it, like, three times, and in between each try, more zombies show up, and you got to defend the wife. That game... It's also just boring because it's sort of a realistic depiction of a zombie outbreak because it's not hard at all, really. Mm. Like, I died once in that game just because I was like, I don't care right now. I got a broomstick. I'll fight this guy. And I just sort of kept hitting him with my face
mm-hmm.
until I died.
Yeah, you said you just had, like... You fell into a pretty simple procedure for taking care of zombies pretty fast.
Yeah. Okay, you see a zombie, and like, yeah, they're kind of fast. They hobble after you. But then you just sort of, you know, dodgy, break their legs, and then they're not going anywhere. So you do that for everyone. And then when they're all just on the floor, you just kind of stand over them and just pound on their heads until it's made of goo.
And there's never anything that forces you to change that up, aside from, like, the big ones?
Well, I did change it up when I got a truck. Because that made me invulnerable. I just drove around the island until I leveled up three times. I mean, that was all right, but that's also kind of, you know, that after three levels, it really lost its appeal. And then I was just like, I wonder what else I can drive my truck
into.
What
does leveling up do for you in that game?
It has, like, skill trees.
Yeah.
Like, I maxed out.
Did you get Ice Sphere? Frozen Sphere?
No.
Oh.
I got, like, regen health level 1.
Did you get, like, the Berserker Whirlwind thing?
No.
I'm trying to think of stuff from Diablo 2. It's tough.
It's been a long time.
Got, like, the Necromancer could, like, shoot, like, a cone of bones. Like, there were these... There's, like, maybe something's teeth. Dragon's teeth.
The bone cone?
You shot, like, a bunch of little projectiles in a wave. And then as you leveled it up, it just got more. Like, the spread just got more condensed.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, it was okay. Necromancer is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, nothing interesting like that.
Yeah.
It's just, I made it so my weapons didn't break as fast. They still broke pretty often, kind of because I never cared to fix them because I never really was at a lack for just shit to pick up out of the
environment. There's never a short supply.
The only things I ever repaired were the one pair of brass knuckles I found and the spike bat I made.
Okay.
That was it. And I didn't even use those because I didn't want them to break by accident.
Can you dual wield? Like, could you be like spike knuckles, like brass knuckles, spiky bat?
Nope.
Could you make spike knuckles?
I don't know. I didn't get that far because it's kind of annoying. Because
would you want to punch a zombie?
They don't let you. Yeah, you do.
Oh, okay.
I got a lot of kills just by punching zombies.
Oh,
especially because once you like, you want a weapon so you get the high damage so you get the break on their legs early. But after that, you're just sitting there.
So you just kind of...
Like, it's really kind of morbid.
You just drum on their heads?
Because there is, like, the two level of, like, there's infectors, or infected and walkers. And the walkers are, like, already shambly, and mm-hmm. a lot of their skin is all green, and some of it's gone. But the infected are just kind of green, but still people-looking. And the majority of people on that island are, like, dudes in swim trunks and chicks in bikinis. Like, I don't think there was a single woman not in a bikini in that game.
Are the infected, like, already hostile?
Yes.
Like, they're just freshly infected and not gross yet?
They're still zombies.
Okay.
Like, the only reason you could tell them apart is because you read the name.
Okay.
But yeah, and so when you get to the point where you're just, like, in a room, you can't stand over a different wrong-colored woman and bash her head in until it stops moving.
Yeah.
You start to feel kind of gross. But it's cool because the character sort of reflects that for a while. And then he just... And then it gets to a point where you get to, like, level 12, and then you hit the zombie with a truck, and it pops, and he just goes, damn, that was a good one. Because you play as a blunt weapon specialist because he can break bones.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, some of what that game is going for is good and is what you want in, like, a zombie game. But at the same time, it's just so boring. Like, it's easy to see how you sort of defeat the challenges, you see the solution to those, and then there's nothing interesting to go find.
Mm. And that's a shame, because, like, that game was, like, do you think you'd have a higher opinion of it if you played it co-op? Because I hear it's kind of, like, built for co-op.
I don't think I would.
Because still, the base activities are still pretty boring.
Yeah. Basically, because, like, the other thing about the co-op is, like, the co-op is also sort of built around the idea of, like, it looks for people who are near your spot in the story.
Mm-hmm.
But I dicked off from the story right quick.
Okay.
And I was just wandering around looking for something. And, like, maybe there's something in the story. I doubt it, because I figure it's just more, hey, go get this from the neighboring gas station. Oh, look, there's a new set of people hiding out in that gas station. What will they need me to go get? Oh, look, a new set of people, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Yeah, like, eh. But it was still probably a bit more fun than Sonic Generations, which I played, like, the day before that, which I don't feel like going into that, because I wrote an article mm-hmm. about it that's up on the website, if you go look. But to sum up, like, that game has 9 stages. The first 3 stages are excellent, like, rebuilding levels from the Genesis era games, and they look amazing, and they make you go, wah! But after that, it stops being a fan wank, and it gets really, really lazy, and it just stops being a good game, like, kind of straight up. One thing that they did is they did rebuild City Escape,
mm-hmm.
Including the truck section, but part of it, like, the truck comes out and it starts pushing cars, and you're like, oh man, I remember this. It looks a bit better because we moved to the 360 over the Dreamcast. And then, like, 3 giant buzzsaws on robot arms come out from behind the truck, and you're like, well, that's new. And then, like, you go into a corkscrew, and it's driving through buildings, and you're chasing over rooftops, and then it starts having jets and fly through the airs at you, and you're like, well, that's also crazy. And it was the same thing. I just pushed it down on the 60 the entire time. It was more of a spectacle. But it just made me ask...
Was it another Sonic boss where you ran on 3 lanes and every once in a while one of those lanes becomes dangerous and you gotta move?
Nope. It wasn't even that. It just hold down.
Oh.
Yeah. It was just a spectacle.
Okay.
But it just made me think, I wonder if they intended to have the buzzsaws and jets and rooftops in the DC version, but they were just like, we can't build that. Not good enough system. It's thinking, but not thinking that hard.
It's okay, little guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, also cool was it, working it backwards, all the 2D levels. Like, because after the first three levels, and when they leave the Genesis era, then it stops kind of making sense because now all of those games were 3D because it's the Sonic Adventure.
And they still have the 2D levels for them?
Well, that's the thing. They had to, like, demake those levels into 2D levels.
Oh, right.
And it was kind of cool on the City Escape one because it, like, they still tried to integrate the truck into it. So it's, a 2D level going through, but every once in a while the truck just, like, drives through and, like, knocks out, like, some scaffolding that you were recently platforming on, and now that changes the pathway of the level and you can move on.
See, in my mind, like, 2D City Escape is just, like, a 45-degree slope, and yeah. You go down it.
At one point, they put old Sonic on a skateboard instead of
on feet.
Instead of on a piece of metal that is meant to be a snowboard.
Oh, okay.
3D City Escape.
Oh, right. Yeah, you start that on a board. For some reason.
Yeah.
Because it's extreme.
I mean, it's cool because they went back in time and they're like, yeah, remember when skateboards were cool? Totally radical. It was a cute little throw. Like, there's a couple of cute little things, but I the way that they were demaking it, but still keeping the truck, like, a major theme of that level. Because it chases you through the whole level. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of follows you menacingly and taking out pieces of scaffolding. Last scaffolding died that day.
What's wrong with that city? Like, did it already get torn down? That's why they got all the scaffolding. They're trying to build it back up.
Maybe.
Now it's getting torn down again?
Could be.
Does this game take place, like, chronologically after all those other games? So they're just rebuilding the city after the first City Escape?
No, it takes place chronologically through all those games.
Okay.
Like, the big boss at the end is a time eater.
Oh.
And, like...
That's cool.
Robotnik put some sort of slave cockpit on him. It's like a slave helmet, but it's also a cockpit.
Okay.
Put that on him, and now he's controlling him and having him go through time and just rip out all of these past Sonic levels, and you need to go through them again to refurbish them with your speed. That's a throwaway line. It's like, when you go through them so fast, it resets the time chrono particles, and that's why it gets all of its color back.
Oh, God damn it.
It's such bullshit. Such bullshit. And, like,
that's... Why build some kind of weird conceit around it if it's just going to be, like, something
because that
so
game,
throwaway and dumb?
Like, that's the thing. Like, the game is completely a throwaway, but it had a very specific purpose, which is to let's rebuild some old levels, and that way all the Sonic fans will get, like, a huge nostalgia bomb. And on those first three levels, when it was an impressive jump because they were never in 3D before, it was super great. Everything after that just threw it into this contrast of like, well, it was already in 3D. You really haven't done anything. And that just shows me exactly how lazy you were building these. Because, like, they're worse than their original incarnations.
Mm.
Like, at least with those first three levels, you had nothing to compare to except just the 2D. And that's really, like, it was just a tour. It was like a guided tour.
Like, hey, guys, remember Sonic?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like, the way, like, instead of... And I think it's a downfall because it doesn't just throw you through levels, but there's, like, a hub world where it's just a big, like, literally a white, empty space that as you sort of progress through the levels, more levels sort of appear. And, like, it fades in, like, all of a sudden, like, grass starts growing, and then it's the Green Hill Zone. And then that fades out, and, like, some metal plates come in, and, like, oh, now we're in the chemical plant. And just, like, you run down this big line of all of these. And it makes you feel like a guided tour. Like, on the left, you will see 2006 Sonic the Hedgehog. And the level that we took from that, which nobody remembers because nobody played that game because nobody likes the games post the Genesis. Post Sonic Adventure, I'll give you that. Like, Sonic Adventure 2 was probably the last best Sonic game.
Would you say that this game is a step up or a step down from Sonic and the Black Knight? Because every time I see that, or it simply comes to mind, I just say to myself, ha ha ha, oh wow, that's a thing that exists.
Mechanically, step down. Storytelling-wise, this would be the worser of two evils. Probably. Because there basically is no story except, hey, look at Sonic's! But that's the thing, like, this is what Sonic fans wanted. Like, I bet you people will tell you that this game is better than Sonic Colors when, like, looking at it as somebody who enjoys Sonic but also enjoys good games and is not, you know, blinded by my wants of the past.
Like, you didn't see Chemical Plant Zone and then the game off as like, oh my god, chemical plant zone.
Like, that's the thing. When I played those first three levels, chemical plant, death egg, those all showed up, and I was like, oh my god, this is so great. But then as soon as that went away, and I was like, all right, now you're just showing me things that I've seen before, it's like, wow, this is really, really bad.
So, like, if you didn't already love it, it's nothing that's worth love?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of, like, the problem with Sonic fans, is what I think what they want is those original Genesis games again. And, like, that's kind of what they did with those first three levels. It's, you know, same levels, same worlds, in 2D, like, with the old fat Sonic. Like, mm-hmm. he's half the height of current Sonic and round.
Little legs.
It's so adorable.
Yeah.
Doesn't speak, but, like, and, like, because you gave him that, fans will probably say this is the best Sonic game to date. And that's really not true, because for what Sonic games should be, for what they have become, if you're not going to make, like, 2D sprite graphic Sonics anymore, what Sonic games should become is closer to Sonic Colors. And it'll be all about, like, spectacle, be about a roller coaster ride, kind of like, you know, God of War games in a sense, where it's like there's going to be great set pieces and you're going to press square a lot, except it's going to be there's great set pieces and you're going to hold right on the stick a lot.
Okay.
That's...
I have to say, like, I mean, I didn't see Sonic Generations in action, but I did really like the visuals and colors.
Yeah, I mean, colors looked amazing.
Especially, like, that, like, ancient Japan aquarium set of levels.
And that's the thing, like, people didn't like that game because they were like, what's up with the ancient Japan aquarium? What's up with these, alien wisps?
Mad cool looking.
It's mad cool looking, and they kind of, you know, it seems like they cared about it. They made decent, you know, playing and looking levels. They had good music, and... But people didn't like it because it was too different. You give a game that, you know, barely a third of it is, you know, something from, you know, how many years ago now? Like 94? So
I have
almost
no idea.
18 years ago, and they're going to see that as something better. So there's something, that's what's wrong with Sonic fans from what I've seen lately.
They're not willing to look into the exotic lifestyle of the blimp.
Yeah, they don't want things to. Yeah, that. Man,
that game turns you... Let me face the mic when I say this with enthusiasm. That game lets you turn into both a laser and a drill.
Yeah!
And a rocket ship!
And a blimp!
And a blimp.
And, like,
and a cube!
Cube was an interesting one. But that's the thing. Interesting. New things. Like, new gameplay hooks. It wasn't always just run right. And people didn't like that. But really, you know, for a game to... be interesting and be good, then it's got to be that. I'm not saying a game has to be interesting to be good, but, you know, like, the core... We've seen the core elements over and over again.
Yeah,
like, even
go fast. Gotta do it.
Like, but, like, you look back. Like, I played Sonic 3 and Knuckles recently completely through. That game wasn't just run to the right and jump. It had things like, you know, like spring plants and... weird enemy, like, all the enemies were unique and moved in different ways. There were things that looked interesting. And, like, that...
You know, jumping on Tails' plane.
Like,
in that level, this level's a carnival. Have fun playing slots.
There was, there was unique things and interesting things just sprinkled about. Like, same thing with, like, Skyrim in that sense. Whereas Sonic Generations was like, we made an interesting visual and nothing else. And that's why that game sucked. And, you know, maybe people didn't like Wisp, but that though they made it a better game. You know, maybe they could have found some excuse more seated in Sonic lore than, hey, kind of spritey aliens. But you know what? What they were was what the game needed.
I mean, whatever. They looked like chows, but they glowed and, like, flew. And maybe chows do glow and fly? I don't know, because I don't know anything about chows.
You let them hug enough birds, they do. Fuck chows. I've never heard anyone bitch about chows. Why not?
I have no idea what the deal is with chows.
Sonic Adventure 2, you could load a chow onto your Game Boy and then take care of it on the road with you. Then you bring it back and have it fight in chow karate.
Oh.
You feed it gorillas. And it gets better at chow karate.
Okay.
Fuck chows. Jesus.
While we're on the subject, what the fuck is up with Waluigi?
You turn the L upside down and you get a 7, but that didn't make sense, so they just went with another W.
Because, like, today I saw... Last night it was. It was last night when it was too late for me to like want to have a conversation. I think it was Nerdbot Mark II.
Right.
Said, if you don't like Waluigi, you might as well just stop following me now, because there's no way we're going to be friends. Real talk. And sir, Waluigi is like the most boring fucking, like, Wario's alright, because I enjoyed his games where you get helmets, and like some of the helmets let you breathe fire out of the helmets, and some let you charge in midair and stuff. But like, what does Waluigi have to call his own? Like, he has been in Mario Kart and Mario Tennis, and
he fills out the pairs.
Yeah, like, he's just, oh, yeah, he's that guy in purple overalls, because, I mean, Mario has a brother. I guess Wario should, too. Like, he's a non-character.
I could see the argument of maybe he's, like, the underdog? Like, because he has not, like, even Luigi has had like, Luigi's Mansion now, which
is... I have never seen Waluigi, like, characterized in any way.
No, he
like
hasn't
it's just
been.
Always been like, well, if you want to play as like Wario, you got Wario, and like if you want a cart that controls like Luigi, but the guy in it is purple, pick Waluigi.
Yeah, like he is a less lanky, less or more.
No, he's more lanky,
more lanky, less farty Wario.
Okay,
because Luigi's a less farty, more lanky Mario.
I'm not actually like I'm not going to go on like some kind of anti-Waluigi crusade or anything. Like, I don't care too much about it. I was just confused that a person could, like, have a seemingly important opinion about Waluigi. It's like when, like, people were like, oh, look what they're doing to Spyro in this Skylanders thing. It's like, people care about Spyro?
Yeah, some people care about Spyro. Not much, but they do.
Okay. So, yeah. While we're just on the subject of yelling at things.
Well, I mean, how about Toadette? Toadette's in there.
I'm more of a fan of the blue and yellow Toads from New Super.
Yeah.
Because, like, there are Toad people. Like, you've seen them in, like, Mario RPG and stuff. Like, there's just a whole kingdom full of these weird mushroom guys.
Yeah.
And you know what? These are just a couple weird mushroom guys that run and jump.
Yeah. Run, jump, shoot, man. I feel... I don't know if it's specifically because of all, like, the kart and tennis and power strikers. I actually hear that Sonic... Or, not Sonic, but that
the
Mario
soccer games are
Mario
really good.
Soccer
yeah,
Wii
I've heard
game.
That.
We should see if we can get our hands on one of those or
I've seen a copy of it at Play and Trade.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I mean, it's you know, it's a fucking mainstream Mario Nintendo title, so I don't think it'll be hard to find.
Yeah, that's true. But yo, like... Mega Man Soccer's awesome. That's my argument.
Whole team full of Snake Man.
But, I don't know. Character bloat? Does that sound like a thing? When it's just a series has been around so long and they start needing to have, like, a full roster of, like, 20 people inside
yeah, I mean,
of the series?
I don't think, like, Mario is too crazy. Because it's like, you got Mario and Luigi. You got Waluigi and Wario. And you got Bowser. And you got, like, Peach, Daisy, and Star Princess.
I think you also now have, like, Larry Cooper or whatever, Bowser Jr.
Oh, yeah, you also have the Koopa Kids.
Or at least there's, like, one that they keep sticking into the games to be sort of yeah. Bowser's pair.
Well, no, I mean, the well, that's Baby Bowser.
Oh, is that what it
or,
is?
Or, like, Mini Bowser or whatever the fuck his deal is.
Baby Mario and Baby Luigi!
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever, fuck those guys. That's, like, some Scrappy-Doo bullshit.
If you
want to... hate Mini Bowser, whatever his proper name is.
Like, we're right on the line... But when we get Baby Waluigi...
Oh, God, that's when...
That's when shit's gonna go down.
That's when we gotta throw some people up against the walls.
Yeah. Just line them up against the wall, and pop goes the weasel.
And, like, I don't know, dude's like that fat purple star guy who pilots the Mario face ship. Like, he's not, like...
But at least he hasn't reoccurred. Like,
yeah,
I don't
like,
know
he's,
if he was in
he's
the
not,
first
like,
one,
they're
but...
not gonna be pulling him back. He's just some guy that exists within the context of that game.
Yeah, but that's the thing, like, you
like,
have...
whatever, like, Mallow and Geno and stuff, like man, I wouldn't mind seeing those guys again, actually.
Yeah, but, and that's the thing, like, they sort of turn into incidental characters, but when you have Toadette keep coming back, because they just keep meeting
yeah.
them, it's like, if you show them enough times, they'll become canon. Doesn't matter if they were just in there, because you just needed to make some pairs.
Like, we just needed another Toad-style racer, and we figured, why not have it be a girl?
And unfortunately, we already matched Drybones to the Koopa Patroopa.
I thought Drybones was matched with... I thought they eventually put, like, a ghost in that game.
Yeah, now there's like, I think there's King, you can put King Boo in one of those. And he has like a sweet hot rod or something. Yeah. What? He doesn't even have feet. How does he work the pedals?
I really like Dry Bones, but since you'd always pick Dry Bones, I think I'd drive as the Boo. Except the Boo's probably a heavy guy because
he's
big and round.
Because he's the King Boo.
I guess I'll go with the Paratrooper then.
That's okay. These days I've been going with the Mii because you get the Star Scooter.
Yeah.
And there is something about like the size of your Mii, like when you make the height adjustment when you create it, actually does affect whether you're considered a light, medium, or heavy character.
That's cool.
That's super cool. I like that because it makes sense that I'm heavy. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought there was something else to talk about.
Peace Walker.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought there was something else before we got onto that. Right.
Oh, God.
Back to Skyrim for a second.
Okay, okay.
The skill trees are all based on, like, the constellations in Nessars, right?
Yeah.
So are there fan skill patron trolls yet?
There are... Okay. There are... There's, like, the skill constellations, but there is also already sort of a history of constellations in that game, because in previous ones, you would pick a star that you were born under, and that gave you, like, some effect.
Right.
Like, if you know, I was born under the tower, so I can, like, you know,
better
unlock...
lock picking.
Yeah, like, I can unlock one door, just whatever I want, once a day, and, like, shit like that. So now you have, within, like, the skill constellation stuff, There's three larger constellations that each loose... There's three kind of loose groupings of them that are the warrior, the thief, and the mage.
Right.
And all of the skill constellations kind of build together to make the warrior, the thief, and the mage as constellations.
Okay.
But then there are still the 12 other ones that you can find, like, shrines to across the world, and they'll give you, like, a set passive effect.
Okay.
And you can have one of those shrines lit at any time. So, okay. Like, I've found the tower, the apprentice, and the lady, I believe.
Ooh, the lady.
And I go with the lady because it gives you 25% faster everything regeneration. Like, magicka, health, stamina, all of it 25% faster.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. The tower was all right, but then I realized there's no actually hard limit on lockpicking in that game. Like, it's not just like, oh, you need to be 75 to even try to hit a master lock. It's like, no, you can try to hit a master lock. It is fucking hard.
Yeah.
But if you want to sit there and you've got lockpicks to spare,
you can do
it. You'll get it eventually.
That's cool. A lot of things are just sort of very naturalized and making sense about that game. But have you seen fan trolls for those constellations yet? Because, okay, so...
I hear that all of our fan trolls are now canon.
Yes! I know I'm crazy.
Thank you, Mr. Hussey.
But as soon as he said that, I stopped having any problem with any fan troll.
Are you serious?
Straight up. I was just like, oh.
Because you saw that, like, the author of the thing wasn't offended by them?
Because they have his blessing.
Okay.
Like that's always my problem with fan characters and, like, fan fiction is, because I just think that people are like, when people write Harry Potter fanfic, or basically any slash fic, it's like, well, you're making some sort of concede to your story to make them gay or whatever, and that's something that's not, you know, the actual character. So now you are writing something about your character who is different because of this major conceit. So why is it still that character?
Yeah.
I take a problem with that. The fan trolls were sort of a middle ground because it's like, yeah, you can kind of have whatever, but, you know, part of my idea of Homestuck was like the whole double Mobius reach around. I kind of get the feeling there's no other people in this universe except for the people we focus on. Sometimes I really get that feeling.
Well, I mean, bad things happen to Earth.
I know. But that's the thing.
All the adult trolls went out into space and then died. So,
yeah, okay,
kinda, yeah.
But, and again, that sort of thing. So it's like, when people are just saying, like, oh yeah, here's somebody else, I'm like, well, I guess that could be, but you're putting me in a place where do I stick with my own thing, or do I buy in that, you know, now there is other people and this isn't something that's going to be exploited later on in the story about, you know, like the super double Mobius reach around. I still think that's the way the whole thing is going to end.
The double?
Yeah.
I mean, we've already got like
three doubles and now a guardian swap.
Yeah, like possibly. We still haven't, we saw a dad, but it just looked like dad because dad seems to be a universal constant.
He capture logged the car.
Yeah.
The whole car. That was pretty good.
I mean, you know, when he first found his wallet, it was like, okay, what's in here? We've got a mountain of pipes, like a 10-yard by 10-yard brick of cans of shaving cream and his car.
Yeah.
And those were in his wallet.
Yeah.
Because capture logs.
But yeah, but now just that, you know, Hussey has come out and said, like, yeah, if you got a fan troll, it totally fits in. I'm like, all right, well, if it fits in, then
I mean, I think that was just kind of an offhand humorous statement, but...
But
it is the word of Huss.
Yeah, like, it is the creator making a statement about his thing, about his creation. So it's copacetic with him.
Yeah.
Copacetic.
That guy.
Sandvich, actually, today on Tumblr, had a pretty cool fan troll who, like, lives in the Arctic and has, like, deer antler horns and types like this because it's so cold.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good gimmick.
That's cool. I'm down with that now.
I just like it because let me tell you about my fan Yeti.
Still don't know how I feel about Pants Cat.
What?
Pants Cat. You don't know Pants Cat?
No.
The one frame where Car Cat's shirt.
Oh, right. It's like super tall.
And then somebody posted, like, it was some art student reblog about, like, some fashion line where it is just pants that come up to here. So it is, like, a pants dress.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, ah, Pants Cat strikes again.
Car Cat. Pants up to the shoulders.
That's just the way they dress. You don't see it because their shirts come down to here.
You got Fat Feffery. You got cross-dressing Aridin in that stupid getup. Like, I'm not opposed to the concept of cross-dressing Aridin, I suppose. Like, you know, I'm not opposed to that on, like, a moral level or whatever. Just, that outfit's dumb. It's just that she ugly. And then you got, you know, movie theater.
Movie theater?
Yeah, you know, just all the frames of, you know, troll with mouth agape, just like, gah, just all lined up in a theater. Got, like, Car Cat throwing popcorn past his head. Somebody's just pouring a soda past their face.
I did not see that, but I like it.
It built up after, for a while. Like, at first it was just Car Cat in a movie theater, bucket of popcorn, bah! And then it just got slowly built on as more and more trolls made stupid faces.
Actually, I think that's one of the cars I need to make for Trackmania. Just like a screaming Car Cat going, ah, towards the back of the car.
Okay.
Yeah. Put streamers on that bitch.
So Peace Walker.
Yeah, Peace Walker.
I was telling Jansen about playing Peace Walker, and I think I realized that the thing I liked about it is just that it is like the perfect blend of just, like, maximal attempted drama and maximum just goofy bullshit.
Yeah?
That I love about Metal Gear.
Kojima-san.
Yeah, like, you know, it's this Cold War drama with people trying to struggle nukes through Costa Rica, and you have, like, you know, the Sandinista rebellion that's being secretly backed by the CIA, the KGB, rather. And then you have, like, the little drama of, like, this one Sandinista cell and, like, they were selling drugs to raise money for stuff, but the kid doesn't know, and it's like, oh, this shit's going on.
And then the girl named...
Everything's so dramatic.
The girl named Peace, who, like, went in to help rescue her friend who was looking at birds, but now she's probably dead, and the other one made it out, like, by the skin of her
One of them
teeth.
Has been tortured to death, and the other one was only tortured almost to death.
Yeah.
And
then Mr. Kojima-san.
Yeah, and then, like, you're going through trucks, and it's like, oh, this one's full of fish. That's not what we're looking for. Metal Gears? Kojima-san? And then you recruit Kojima-san.
The one you missed on the left side is he opens it up, and there's some sort of, like, it looked like, okay, you know the heads on all of the Smuppets?
Yeah? With the big goofy nose?
Yeah. Like that?
There was a cart full of Muppet heads?
But they were oranges, and Snake screams, Bankai!
What?
I believe it is a reference to whatever that GBA game with the sun sensor was.
Yeah,
that was a Kojima game.
It was. Not Bangayo. It was Sunlight.
Yeah.
God,
the Sunlight gun in MGS4. That gun was pretty good.
But, like, then, like, the secret AI-controlled super weapon all have, like, Vocaloid singing voices for some reason.
Yeah.
And, like, you find prisoners of war and you extract them from the field with the Fulton helicopter recovery system, whereby you just strap a balloon to their belt and they go flying.
I learned something great about that system, actually.
What?
Okay, so you know how you can do a stick up?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you do a stick up to a guy, instead of like shaking and giving items or whatever, he just lays down flat on the ground. And so I was like, oh, well, while you're down there, can I? Whoop! I can!
So yeah, like you.
So that dude was awake and flew away.
You spend the game basically kidnapping guys, and then they just immediately become your friends. And like, Portable Ops had that too, where you just kind of like you had your truck on every mission,
yeah,
and then you just threw people in the back of your truck,
which is
ridiculous. But in this one, you strap like a balloon to their belt, and they just go flying into the air.
And then a helicopter catches it somewhere up there.
But like when you find prisoners of war and they're just like bound up and just like lying in places, they can't talk or anything, and then you just strap a balloon to them and they fly away and they're like, woohoo!
Yeah. And on top of that, it's a co-op Metal Gear Solid game.
Yeah.
That's great. Comes with it everything that's great about co-op stealth games, being that I goof, run towards you, and now you have passively goofed via me.
And then you've got, like, the love box so that you can hide in boxes together.
Yeah.
And then, like, you go to your staff menu where you assign the dudes, and everyone has, like, a little quip to say. And one guy was like, man, when I find me a girlfriend, I'm going to get a cardboard box and get her in there for some quality time together. And the other guy's all like, Snake, boss, I saw the guys down in R&D just fooling around. They were just crawling around in boxes. They're wasting your money on that. And I'm like, no, 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 you don't understand.
No, they are.
You take care of a box.
Cutting edge technology.
A box will take care of you. Yeah, that game's just super good.
Like, did you try to fight that mini Shagwahad?
Not yet.
Not yet. Me neither. But I just got up to it. You want to go fight a?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Also, I did get the Mosin Nagant now, so long-range tanking. I kind of goofed on the, not the barricade one, but it's a level where like it ends at that boss fight,
uh-huh.
when you have to sort of go through that front gate.
Yeah.
I just kept goofing there, because I just stood all the way back and just kept nailing those guys with trank darts, and then they would just walk from one parapet to the other, wake the guy up, walk back, but then this one's asleep, so now he's walking over. And I kind of just kept cycling them for a while until I got sick of it and went through everybody.
See, like, the motion's cool, but it's still not quiet, so.
Yeah. Nah. That's why you just stand really far away.
Yeah.
Where did you find that other camo, too? Because I looked, but I missed
it. Oh, I got, which one?
Whatever that last camo you found.
I got Oscam, and I got Cube.
Ooh.
Cube was in Extra Ops, actually. It was in Recover the Secret Documents.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
The Oscam, I forget what that was. Right. I mean, I thought we were playing together at that point. So
no, that was while me and Joe were a puzzle playing.
Oh, okay.
And I just heard it, and I stored that away, that I had to look for that, and then I didn't find it.
Maybe I can gift it to you.
That would be cool.
Build our camaraderie level.
Yeah! Be bears!
I mean, well, I shaved. There was that scene where, like, you break into the Sandinista holdout, and all the guys are like, eh, KS, El Che, Papa Noel?
Oh, that's so great. So great.
God, that game.
So great.
Yeah, like, if you got PSP and you got somebody to play this game with, check it out, definitely.
Or actually,
I mean, you probably already have, I don't know.
I mean, at this point, because they just released the MGS AT collection.
Oh, right, and it's in the MGS. HD collection.
So, I guess PS3, Xbox 360, now you can get Peace Walker on that, and that game is super fun, especially when you got, you know, at least one other person to play it with. Which, more people have Xboxes than PSPs, I bet you. In America.
Yeah. You know, it's more beautiful.
Yeah. not really, actually.
I mean, if there's, like, anti-aliasing, then it's...
I think
that would be good for me, because...
I don't know so much about anti-aliasing, maybe a little bit. Moreover...
I mean, I just see jagged edges, you know, edges on player models, and I'm like, eh.
A better frame rate. It has a better frame rate.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give it that. Because it holds up pretty well on the PSP, but sometimes it gets a little choppy.
Because it's so cold.
Yeah.
Video games!
Yeah, what do you think? That's good? Are we done?
Yeah, we talked about a fair bit of video games. So this has been an extra long installment of the Oliku Studios podcast, Gaidan! You can find show notes on our website.
Website's olikustudios.net.
/podcast.
/ podcast. You can send us email, podcast@olikustudios.net. You can find us on facebook.com/Leeku.
That is also where you can find the event page for our upcoming Trackmania event.
Yep, still coming. November 29th. Be there. You can find us on the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. If you want to leave us reviews or ratings, comments, stuff like that, super appreciated. You can find our Twitter account where we put whenever something goes up on the site, we always update that. That's at twitter.com/Leeku, et cetera, et cetera.
So, yeah. Video games. Go play them.
Banger! Banger! Banger!